Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
AI is calling me right now. I need you guys to pay attention, because if you're not using this in your real estate business or you haven't started, then it's going to be for you. Hello?
Hey, Brandon, giving you a call back. How is it going?
It's going good. How can I help you?
My name is Emily, and I'm actually AI powered, but don't worry, I'm not calling to sell you anything. I'm calling about your property located at 663 Clemson Drive.
Okay, yeah, what about it?
The reason for the call is to see if you would consider selling the property.
I guess it just depends. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to give it away, because I get these calls all the time.
I totally understand, Brandon. I'm just looking to gather some information to see if we can come to an agreement. If you don't mind, I have a couple of questions to get the best possible offer for you. We typically look at 2 different types of properties.
Now, if you're not using this in your real estate business, or you haven't even thought about getting started in real estate, I'm going to tell you right now, America is on sale, and it's gotten way easier with AI.
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for $1 a day? Would you be interested? Well, inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you 2 coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, helped Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, helped Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and helped Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today, is a very special day because our guest today is an entrepreneur, investor, AI specialist, educator, mentor, and real estate expert extraordinaire. He's the owner of Blue Notes University and the CEO of Blue Notes LLC, a company responsible for doing well over 400 real estate deals and helping thousands of aspiring investors make their first dollar in the industry. From working dead-end hospital jobs and barely making ends meet to building a 7-figure multi-market portfolio, his story is one of faith, fortitude, and fearless execution. And his mission is simple: to create the next wave of digital deal makers by teaching thousands across the country how to use AI to make their first 10K in real estate with little risk and maximum rewards. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Orlando, Florida, by way of Queens, New York, I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Brandon Naran. What's going on, family? How are you?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man? Listen, that's one of the best intros I've ever had. I thought I was about to get up in the ring and fight somebody.
Hey, man, I just had to dress it up for you nice, man.
Nah, that was great, though. You was 100% accurate with it, though.
Man, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Welcome to the pod, bro.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me, man. Really, really happy and excited to get on here, speak financial literacy, generational wealth,
yeah,
and be able to provide value to your audience and, just to excited overall, man.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to have you on. I've been following you for some time. I love talking any and all things real estate. You have a very interesting twist on the real estate space that I don't think we've ever touched on here. So I made sure I moved mountains to get you on here, and I'm excited for the conversation. Before we get into it, I know I did a solid job of introducing you, but for those who are unfamiliar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Brandon Naran?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a kid from Queens, New York. I was raised by a single mom and grandma. They immigrated from Colombia. So my mom and grandma's from Colombia. And essentially, man, I grew up sharing a bedroom with my grandma to the age of 16, which is funny because when you move to Florida, most people don't understand that. But in New York, that's kind of common, right? You know, sharing a bedroom with your people. But anyways, just a kid lost in the world trying to figure things out. I met my dad at the age of 13, 14. And it was crazy because I didn't really know who my dad was. I didn't know what he did. And I didn't even know I had siblings. When I met him, he was actually well off. So he owns a lot of real estate in Bronx. He lives somewhere up like in Peekskill, somewhere in that area. And it was crazy because I always had real estate on the back of my mind, but it wasn't something that I said this is what I wanted to do. So, you know, just come from adversity, trying to figure it out. And I mean, I love my story. I wouldn't change it for anything. It gave me grit. It gave me the tenacity to want to do more. And I think that it bonded me to understand things my way, to be able to reset my mindset. Because a lot of the times, you know, in the neighborhoods that we grow up with and the people that we surround ourselves in, just because of who we are and where we're delegated to, we weren't taught financial literacy. We weren't taught credit. We weren't taught to, you know, go out there and start your own business. I was just basically, hey, you know, go to college, get a degree, get married, buy your house, work till 65 and die. So, you know, that was good for us, you know. So it just molded me. It turned me into a different person. And, you know, my story is just so impactful that when I meet other people, I also get moved by them and their story. And that's why, you know, my tag, what I live by and stand by is sponsored by God, which is what I'm wearing now, sponsored by God. And it was just crazy because we go through so many trials and tribulations. We can sit here right now and bring some viewers up or even you yourself to talk about what you went through. And it's not luck, you know, it's just God putting that holding that hand, you know, and saying, hey, I'm going to help you this way and that way. So I'm just really excited to be here, really excited to help as many people. And I know you said something in, I was actually in your live the other day and you talked about you wanted to impact like, I think 1,000 or 10,000.
10,000 people, yeah.
Exactly. So I'm trying to do the same thing. I want to create at least 10 millionaires before I leave Earth. And, you know, that's my calling.
I love it. Let's dive a little bit more into the earlier days of your life. Like you said, didn't come from the best background at the time. You were being raised by mom and grandma. Dad wasn't in the picture early on. What do you remember? What do you remember was your first introduction to financial literacy and wealth and entrepreneurship? Did it happen between mom and grandma, or did it not happen until you met your dad later on?
Man, you know what? I became an expert at hanging around older people, which is a hack. Listen, right now, you know, you may have friends that you want to go ahead and hang out with, or you have a girlfriend, you have a boyfriend. But one of the biggest hacks is hanging around older people because they have wisdom. They've made a lot of mistakes. And what I used to do is I used to take people's, you know, biographies. And what I mean by that, what they've gone through, and say, I don't want to do that. Or I don't want to be like that person, right? And I would take the good with the good and the bad with the bad. And, you know, my mom and grandma did a great job raising me. I mean, I always had, you know, I always had a shirt on my back. I always had somewhere to obviously lay my head, and I had food on my stomach. But, you know, things were tight. Multiple jobs, you know, month to month. Sometimes lights went out. But the greatest thing about that was that I really learned money management. And it was kind of good and bad because I had a money phobia. So every time I would try to get some money, I would try to save as much as I could, which later on kind of hindered me from scaling my business, which we could talk about. But now the first thing that I, you know, when I encountered financial literacy was just one day going from apartment to apartment and saying, when are we going to be able to actually dictate whether we stay or go, right? Because it's always like rent's going up or we have to transition over here. I would have to go from one school to another school. So that was the first thing that kind of stood out to me, was the moving. And then the second thing was just honestly like money management. I seen my mom, you know, she had me when she was very young. So, you know, we would get money and, you know, she would obviously say, no, Brandon, you know, I can't get them shoes for you. Or, you know, I had longer hair back in the day. So I'd be like, Mom, can I get a haircut and a braids? She's like, nah, you can only do either or. Now I would say mostly the haircut, you know what I'm saying? Cause the braids just gonna cost you at least 60. So that's when I started to notice the financial literacy part, because we all make money. I mean, even the person shaking a cup on the street is making money. But the problem in America is that number one, we suffer from obesity. We're like the number one country in America, I believe, for obesity. But number two, we're like, what, 3 trillion, 4? I don't even know what the number is, in debt. So we all make money, We just spend more money on what we make. And if you can just stay down and if you can learn the art of maximizing your earning capacity to where you don't have to spend what you make and really delaying your gratification, that's the cheat code to becoming successful.
Powerful. Powerful. You said something that was key. You talked about hanging around older people, and that was like your first introduction to mentorship because you took their individual stories and used that as a way to say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. For us as young men, typically one of the key figures that is that mentor for us is usually our father. Mm-hmm. You talked about it just now, how, you know, for most of your adolescence, it was mainly just moms and grandma. It's not that dad wasn't there. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't around.
Yeah.
And then you talked about meeting him a little bit later on. What was, first off, how did you guys get reconnected and what were those conversations like? Because I'm sure it was probably a flurry of emotions that you were dealing with at the time. Walk me through that.
Yeah, I mean, so it was crazy because my dad just wasn't around. You know, he wasn't around. It was absolute, like, I didn't know who my dad was. I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't even know his name. And then one day out of nowhere, my mom was like, hey, do you want to meet your dad? And I'm like, yes, yeah, cool. And he just came. I think it was just like a little party that we had, and I met him for the first time. And yeah, I mean, it was like a flurry of emotion, but at the same time, it just was like, this is just another man. You know, and you start to go through those stages in life. I don't know, you know, there's probably other viewers on here as well that maybe have met their dad later on in life or maybe never had their dad in their life. But you start to go ahead and kind of have sometimes some pity, like, you know, I'm not good enough, or, you know, what did I do that he now wants to come around, or, why did you leave me and my mom? So, you know, there was a point in time where, you know, I just started to not like any men at all. I was just like on my alpha male, you know, I just, anything I could just do, I'm not taking no advice from nobody. Any boyfriend my mom had, I hated them. And that's how things started to kind of trail, I guess you can say, on a downturn, because, you know, I was not doing well in school, hanging around the wrong people, and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, and that's one of the biggest things too, you know, when you want to become an entrepreneur, you want to scale your business, you want to make a lot of money, you have to be emotionally disciplined.
Yeah.
You have to be emotionally disciplined. If you are a person that is super, like, you have to be super focused, hyper-driven on what you want, and you go ahead and you put yourself in that position where, hey, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to get where I'm going. Nobody's going to stop me and have a game plan to get there. You will not be stopped. But most of the times we're drifters, right? Out with the devil. We just go ahead and we stop here and we stop here and then we stop here and we stop here. Like, oh, I have an LLC and then I also got a t-shirt business and I got this. So you're doing 10 things all at once. And that's why you're never able to get there.
So you meet your dad, you go through the flurry of emotions, but ultimately you kind of compartmentalize all of that and deal with it. If I'm not mistaken, you said it kind of in your intro that you had found out that not only was he around, but he also had something going on the real estate side. Was he your intro into getting into real estate, or how did that work?
Yeah. So funny thing, right? So essentially after I got expelled from two high schools and I had to go to an alternative school. So at the alternative school, basically it was just like notebook. You had to go in. It was locked, you know, locked up, like doing little cage. It was just crazy. Everybody's on probation or coming out of jail. Like, you know, so I ended up going to alternative school. And while I was there, that's when it kind of hit me that you have to hold yourself accountable for everything that you do, even if it's not your fault. Right. And that your parents dictate your history, but your decisions are going to dictate your future. And that's when I started to hold myself accountable. And I remember that I had to just get a whole bunch of credits to graduate. Ended up doing that. I couldn't walk because I got expelled. So I had to go to summer graduation. And after that, I was like, you know what? I want to actually do something positive. And the only thing that I liked was getting a haircut, getting braids, staying fresh. That was just me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go learn how to cut hair. And that's when I volunteered at the barbershop. So I used to clean the barbershop. I used to basically, I was just a guy getting their lunch, wiping the stations down, cleaning the toilets. I was an apprentice, and that's what I would do to make money while I was learning, because either I would cut somebody for free, or I would just, you know, cut the barbers up, whatever, you know, here and there, maybe do their beard, or, you know, maybe I'll do a hairline real quick or whatever. So after doing that, once again, it just hit me. I started to look and I started to say, is this something that I want to do forever? Because if you think about it, and this is no knock on being a barber, I love the art, it makes good money. And if it's your passion, keep doing it. But if you're in a position right now, look at your job, right? And if you're at your job and you're unhappy with how much your boss is making and he's been there 10 years longer than you and it doesn't look he's going to quit, then that is your ceiling. Right? What is the most that you can really make? If he's making $40,000 a year and he's been there 11 years, either A, he has to retire, B, he has to quit, right? And then you have to even get promoted or be able to have the accolades to take over that position. So $40,000 a year is going to be your ceiling plus benefits. So I started to look at, well, you know what? If I cut more hair, right, then I'm less time with my family. I could get carpal tunnel because of my wrist or whatever. If I charge higher prices, my competition is right here in this next booth, mm-hmm. right? And then if I'm the owner, we always had people setting up shops where they would just go ahead and start a barbershop right down the street when they worked here. But I also saw the owners always cutting hair. So I said, you know what? I'm going to leverage this and I'm going to use it to go ahead and fund or build another lifestyle. And I didn't know what that was. So my mom always said, Brandon, you know, you just need to go to college. So I said, okay, cool. So in my little city in Orlando, in Altamont Springs, a little bit north of Orlando, the biggest thing there was the hospital. We have one of the good, you know, it's a pretty good hospital. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and try to get a job at the hospital. So I started volunteering 4 months. After 4 months, they hired me as a patient transport. I was making $9.50 an hour. But you know what, Marvin? I was excited. I had a badge. I had to swipe through things. I had benefits like dental and this, that, and the third. I haven't had that before. And I'm wearing scrubs. I'm walking around with, you know, the hitters, you know, doctors, anesthesiologists. They're not paying no mind to me because I'm wearing a transportation scrub. So they know I'm a nobody, right? In their eyes. But I was like, okay, cool. So now I'm here. Wanted to do nursing. So I started going to school for nursing, get my prereqs. Man, it took me 4 years to get a 2-year degree, bro. I used to use my Pell Grant. You know, half of it, I save it up. Half of it, I have fun, right? And that's when I said, so I was at Publix. Y'all got Publix out here? No, y'all don't got
Publix. No, we don't got Publix out here. No.
But you know what Publix is.
Yeah.
So I was at Publix, and basically what ended up happening was that my grandma was buying the groceries, and essentially her cart declined. I wasn't paying for them. I didn't have the money for it. And the guy behind us ended up paying for it. He said, I'll take care of it. And I went home that day and I said, this will be the last time that I'll ever let another man dictate whether I eat or my family eats. Went on there. Obviously, I knew that real estate created so many millionaires. It was, you know, what, I think a week to get your license or whatever. Saved up some money and went and got my real estate license. And half of that was because of the real estate. Half of that was because I wanted to prove to my dad that I was going to be better than him. I had a little grudge. Went and became a licensed realtor, failed. Another year went by. Couldn't get nobody like list their house, help me sell their house, nothing. I'd come out of work. I had a Burlington suit. I'd come out of work, change out all my scrubs, nothing. And it just didn't work out. So I'm still doing the whole thing, right? I'm going to school. I'm trying to do, well, at this point in time, I was thinking about going back. So I was like taking maybe one class and still working at the barbershop on the weekends. I was still working at the hospital, just like per diem. And somebody came into the barbershop about real estate wholesaling. Like they was getting a cut and one of the barbers was like, hey, you got to talk to him about, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I heard about that. And then that's when my journey started.
So what year is this?
So I became a licensed realtor in the beginning of 2017.
Okay.
And I started my real estate wholesaling journey at the end of 2017.
Got you. So you became a licensed realtor beginning of 2017, start the wholesaling journey at the end of, towards the end of that very same year.
Yeah.
To kind of get back on your feet. Now that you are in the wholesaling space, when did the light bulb switch for you in that arena of real estate?
So it was crazy because essentially, when I did my first deal on my own, at that point in time, I knew that everything that I wanted was obtainable. I'm an only child. The only person that can retire my mom early is me, right? I met my fiance now. I met her when I was 16 years old. So, you know, me me like being able to say, hey, I want to gift her a nice ring. I want to give her the wedding that she deserves. I want to be able to buy her, you know, I want to be able to do these things and, you know, build a family or whatnot. I knew it wasn't obtainable working, not making $9.50 an hour.
Yeah.
Right. Spending all these hours at the barbershop. But when I closed my first deal, I made $8,500. Well, it was a $10,000 assignment fee. Mm-hmm. And somebody found a buyer. So I paid him $1,500 for bringing a buyer. So I made $8,500. I got paid to my name. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the most money I've ever made. And this was like in 30-something days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the light bulb clicked that you can really make a lot of money way faster than you can save it. Like I spent my whole life, every time, you know, life be life. And right now you got something going on. You save your money. You save $1,000. You save $2,000. Boom. Your transmission go out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's how it was for me. But the fact that I was able to make that much money only by putting two people together, I was like, I just want to keep doing this over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Your first, you go from making $9.50 an hour. Mm-hmm. Barely making ends meet, not able to take care of granny at the supermarket. Mm-hmm. To now you're making $8,500 in 30 days. That's a big jump.
Yeah,
right?
Super.
Yeah. You now have that, and this is on your first deal, mind you.
This is my first deal. So you know what's crazy? Let me tell you how I got this deal.
Break it down.
So what I did is that I used to pull the tax delinquent list from the county. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you used to go on the website, pull the tax delinquent list. Now, what I used to do is I used to go to Staples. I used to buy the actual thick paper.
Mm-hmm.
I'd come back to my computer, a little old Canon computer. I'd go ahead and print out right on that paper the postcard. And it would be, I think it would be like four postcards on one sheet. So I'd have maybe 50 sheets, whatever. I'd go back to Staples, have them professionally cut it, and then I would literally go in there and stamp every single one. That's how literally out the mud I was trying to get it, bro.
Yeah.
Now, here's the caveat to that. Like I said, it was a tax delinquent list, right? So I would direct mail. I would send postcards, right, to these homeowners that were behind on taxes. Now, I used to pull that list every 4 months, right? I got my first deal, great. But I kept going and doing it, right? Funny thing was is that I was pulling the same list every single 4 months. I didn't know that the tax roll only came out once a year. But what that taught me was follow-up.
Yeah.
And that's how I was able to get more and more deals, right? So the funny thing about it is that the stars aligned for me for that first deal. But what really propelled me to get more and more deals was learning the art of following up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of stumbled upon it. It wasn't something that I meant to do.
Let's dive a little bit more into wholesaling, because I've always heard mixed reviews about the wholesaling space. But
it's a space that,
you know, you've, like you said, you really started to spread your wings, if you will, in the real estate space. And now you've championed even now in 2025.
Yeah.
From previous years, I've heard wholesaling is dead. Mm-hmm. It's not the way to go. It's more work than you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get it from somebody that knows the real.
No, yeah, right? For sure.
So talk to me a little bit about that.
So let me ask you this, right? I would put you as a finance specialist, a credit guru,
yep,
somebody that knows what they're talking about.
Yep.
You have a client that gets funded $100,000, $200,000, whatever it is, $50,000.
Yep.
What is the best and safest way you're going to tell them to put their money?
Real estate.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So with real estate, right, some people say that, like you just said, wholesaling is dead. Well, let me ask you this. Many people go to the gym, but does everybody have a six pack?
No.
So just because a lot of people may seem or it looks like they're doing it doesn't mean that they're doing it correctly, doesn't mean that they're getting results.
Yeah.
But there is deals out there. Now, the reason why wholesaling will always be around is because, number one, it's recession proof. Okay. Mm. It's COVID proof. All right. And it's election proof.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next reason why it's always going to be around is because of the three Ds: death, disaster, and distress. People are always going to pass away, unfortunately. We're always going to have disaster, natural disaster, even just the time of the property not being updated. It's always going to be, you know, having to keep updated in the maintenance. And the last one is distress, financial distress, relationship distress. Right? Because of these three things, you're always going to have human nature. You're always going to have people that are going to fall behind, either lack of maintenance or lack of living or lack of just responsibility, where you can come in and provide a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And for that solution, you can go ahead and make $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, even $70,000, $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I just got a student last year. He made up $84,000 on one deal.
Mm.
So what I would tell people that say that wholesaling may be dead, is that you're looking and you're surrounding or you're hearing the wrong things. That's number one. But number two is, you drop me anywhere in this world where there's a road, a dirt road or a regular road, it's going to lead to some type of real estate. A shack, somebody's house, a commercial building, a maroon shack, whatever that was, a Dunkin' Donuts, right? Everybody needs a place to live. And the way that we reproduce, God is not going to come down and make more land. And we just keep building out. Mm-hmm. Another thing I love about real estate, that you win in life, but you lose on paper. You tell me where else you can depreciate $400,000 or $500,000 through taxes and still be able to go ahead and make passive income or still make income. So here's the name of the game. You ready for it?
Break it down.
First and foremost, what you want to go ahead and do is you want to learn how to wholesale. Wholesaling is the art of finding ugly houses, putting two people together. You're finding somebody that has a problem with a property and they have to go ahead and get rid of it. And you're finding a fix and flipper that's willing to pay you a middleman fee for it. Once you learn that, and as you're learning that, you're going to start to go ahead and cash in deals, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. Now, the dope thing is that you want to leverage, those cash buyers to learn the art of real estate investing. So you want to learn how they invest, where they invest, right? And what a good deal looks like. So as you're doing this and as you start to accumulate capital, what you're doing is that now when a good deal comes along, you're able to say, instead of me wholesaling this, I'm going to go ahead and keep this property because I'm getting it at 40 cents on the dollar. So if the house is worth $450,000, you get it for $100,000. That's not maybe a good deal. You want to just go ahead and quickly offload. You may want to go ahead and keep that property.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll break it down. I'll give them a little bit of a better example here. So I started to go ahead and sell deals to investors. And they used to be like, man, you know what? Can you do at least 205? Let's just say I'm asking prices 210. I said, hey, listen, Marvin, I'll go ahead and do 205, but I need to ask you for a favor. Can you go ahead and, can I come by your flips? Can I go ahead and shadow your people? Yeah, no problem. You can come whenever you want. So I used to go over there and shadow them as they flipped the house. I used to meet the contractor. I used to find out, hey, listen, why do you guys paint all your doors red? Why do you guys use this type of flooring? Why in this type of house you put this type of countertop and you put this type of vanity here? So I started to understand why they do things, what their percentages were, right? Where they're outsourcing and getting different things, the flooring, the kitchen, their contractors. And then I started to go ahead and use those when I got good deals. Ended up getting so good that in 2020, are you familiar with what's called a hard money lender?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So for those of you guys that don't know, a hard money lender is somebody that lends at high rates, and it's basically for investment properties. Okay. Most of the times it's asset-based, meaning that they look at the house. If it's a good deal and there's good margin for them, they're going to go ahead and lend you the money, and it's going to be at like 11, 12, 13, 14%, depending on, you know, what type of deal you're getting. Okay. Now, it came to the fact that in 2020, I don't know if you remember, the real estate market was booming.
Yeah.
And people were literally paying over, right? Multiple offers, selling 4 or 5 days, 1 week on the market. Where I had buyers that would contact me and say, hey, listen, I want to buy that ugly house from you. And I'm like, okay, cool. Purchase price $200,000. Like, yeah, listen, send me a contract for $230,000, right? But put the LLC for this, but I want you to go ahead and assign it, right, for $30,000 more to this LLC. And I'm like, okay. No problem. After time, they were doing it so much that I started to ask them, I said, yo, why do you do that? Why do you say, listen, send me the contract for $230,000, right? But pay this other company $30,000. What they were doing is that they were making their upfront profit upfront versus on the back end when they flipped the house because they knew it was going to sell. Now, how were they doing that? They were leveraging a hard money lender because they knew that they were going to get the money because it was going to sell immediately because of how hot the market was. So then after that, I started to ask them, well, who is this person that you're using and why do you do that? Well, what we do is that we'll make some quick money up front. So we make upfront profit and then we'll make back end profit. So I said, okay, cool. I got in contact with some people that obviously I was able to utilize. So now what we do is that we'll take properties at 50 cents on a dollar, 40 cents on a dollar. I'll go ahead and get it under contract through my wholesale business. I'll assign the contract to my flipping LLC. Let's just say $15,000, $20,000. I'll call my private money lender, hard money lender, and I say, hey, listen, I need a loan. Can you go ahead and fund this property for me? Right? So let's say I got under contract for $200,000. I assign it to my flipping company for $220,000. I call her and say, hey, listen, can I get a loan for $220,000 and it needs $50,000 rehab? She approves it because of the fact that the ARV, the after peer value, is, let's say $450,000, whatever, right? So I go ahead and rehab the property, but I already made $20,000 up front because they got to cut the check to my other company. Mm-hmm. Now, as I'm rehabbing the property, what we do is that basically it's called draws. So we fix the kitchen and then she reimburses us the money.
Yeah.
So you take the pictures, boom, she reimburses the money. So I'm using a credit card. So with the credit card, I may be using the gold, right? I'm going to Home Depot, swiping. And as soon as, you know, she goes and pays me back, obviously I'm getting points. My credit is going up and my limit's going up, right? So now I'm flipping the house, no money out of pocket. Now, once the house is completely fixed, I go ahead and appraise it. Mm-hmm. Once I appraise it, I go to Navy Fed, I go to BOA, I go to Penn, wherever I go, right? And do what? Refi. Mm-hmm. Now I flipped a house, no money out of pocket. I made $20,000 on the front end. And now I have a property that's cash flowing. Now, I wouldn't have learned this if it wasn't for wholesaling, because mm-hmm. I learned how to invest for free, just flipping contracts and getting around the right people that were investing into real estate.
This is good. All right, so let's.
I hope that didn't go over your head.
It damn sure ain't go over mine. let's unpack that a bit, right? Because like you said, it all ultimately ties back to wholesaling. So let's dive a little bit deeper into that. For the newbie investor or the aspiring investor that's saying, like, all right, Brandon, you convinced me. I'm all in. I'm gonna start off wholesaling and build my real estate business from there. What are some of the different ways? Because whenever I sit down with real estate investors, the number one thing I hear is the hardest part is finding motivated sellers, finding the deal. How do we go about, what are the first steps that those aspiring investors can take to find a good deal? Because this house is all over, but I don't mean that you got the deals.
Yeah.
So how do we find deals and how do we analyze these deals so that we can set ourselves up for success in wholesaling?
Perfect. So listen, I'm going to give them two ways, right? If you are limited on funds, but you have some tenacity and you believe in yourself, this is what I would recommend. Number one is you want to go ahead and look for the code violations list in your city. Okay. Code violations mean that the city is fining that property for a bad yard, a broken fence, multiple cars, bad roof, broken windows, whatever the case may be. Now, they're going to be fining this house, depending on what it's being fined for, $50 a day, $100 a day, $200 a day, up to $500 a day. Mm. Now, in my city, right, there's this thing called lien amnesty. Lien amnesty is where essentially, as long as you bring the property up to code, for example, if you have a house that been getting fined for 5 years because of a broken fence, it's been just vacant, mm-hmm. right? That can obviously amount to a lot of money. But if you bring it up to code, many times they will go ahead and take that whole violation off of $100,000 and bring it down to $5,000. Mm. So what you can do is that you can use that to your advantage and leverage, because most of the people know, these homeowners know that the house has a huge violation and they're not gonna fix it. So they just let the property sit there, right? Now, you pull that list, you find out if there is some type of lien amnesty in your area, mm-hmm. and now you're able to go ahead and leverage that against the actual seller to say, hey, listen, I have to go ahead and either pay this violation off or figure out a way to fix it. Now, most of the time, they don't do the due diligence, so they don't even know that that's possible. But as long as the buyer can go ahead and actually bring the property up to code, a lot of the times they'll take the house because they already talked to the city and they know that's gonna be wiped out. So one of my, I think it was my third or fourth deal that happened to me. I got the property under contract, title company, did their due diligence, lien came back, $80,000. I'm like, oh man, I thought I was about to make a good deal. I go back, I tell him that, I show him that the house was vacant, he didn't live in it, his parents owned it, and he lived in like North Carolina and it was in Orlando. And the funny thing about it was, I'm like, man, I don't think I can buy the house anymore. And it was like a joke. I was like, the best I can probably do is probably give you $1,500, it has an $80,000 lien. He was like, well, if you want to take it like that, just give me the $1,500. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. Went out, found out about lien amnesty. I was able to go ahead and structure the deal where they took over the property. We wholesaled it because they knew that they were going to be able to pay that lien and it was only going to be like $5,000 as soon as they fixed whatever was wrong with it. So that's what I'd recommend if you have no money or if you have limited on funds, pull the code violations list. We're not currently using AI to do that. Very, very simple. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'd recommend. Now, if you have some money, there's a couple websites out there. There's leadzolo.com.
Say that again, but say it slow.
Leadzolo.com. Okay. LEADZOLO. And then we have propertyleads.com. Now, both of these websites, what they do is they do PPC. Now, are you familiar with like SEO and
PPC? Is that pay-per-click?
So it's it's basically pay-per-click, yeah.
Okay.
Or they do what's called PPL, pay-per-lead. Okay. So what you do is that you bid for leads in your area. Now, these are all people that came to the website. For example, sell my house fast, Brooklyn. right? Mm-hmm. Think about it. They're going to this website and they're trying to get an offer for the house.
Yeah.
So what you did is that, what you'll do is that you'll bid, you'll go ahead and say, hey, I'll have, you know, $100 is my bid on any deals that come in through this county. And they'll go ahead and send you the lead. If you win that bid, they'll send you the lead for that person that just submitted that they want an offer because they want to sell quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use both of those websites if you have some money. And the reason why I love those is because they're coming to you.
Mm.
So when you talk about somebody saying, yeah, you know, the hardest part is finding ugly houses or motivated leads. Well, what if they're coming to you now?
Mm.
So this is a game of investing, right?
Right.
Now think about it. That $100, $200, $250 can possibly make you $10,000. $15,000, $20,000.
Mm.
And that's the goal, being able to 10X, 20X your money. So those would be the two ways that I would say. And then the third way, if you really want motivated leads, you have to list stack.
Mm.
Multiple problems. People that maybe, for example, the house is a probate deal. It means they passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not only is it probate, let's just say it was in pre-foreclosure when he passed away, right? Not only was it in pre-foreclosure, it was vacant. So that's three levels of motivation. That person is going through a lot. And because of all that, it can mean financial burden. And once you stack your list, you can stack your list with bluestext.com. They do a great job where you can purchase different lists and it'll show you which property or which homeowner is on all three. You can take all those and start cold calling them. You can take all those and start using AI to text them. You can just several many ways that you can do it.
And wasn't it Bluestext?
Bluestext.com. Bluestext.com, yeah.
So this is good for me because I love bringing investors like yourself on here because, and I'm sure you see it a lot of times, and especially in all spaces of business, but more specifically what I see in real estate, that there's certain information that may be floating around that is old, antiquated, may not work anymore. I'm curious to know, you just broke down strategies that people use now in 2025.
Yeah.
Conversely, are there certain strategies in the wholesaling space that you hear people still talk about to us like, bro, y'all are living in 2008. Mm-hmm. Nobody should still be doing that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, listen, right now, if you learned or you heard about real estate wholesaling and you're trying to drive for dollars, that is dead. Drawing for dollars is something that I don't advise people to do. I feel like it's a waste of time. Can you get deals? Yes. But why would I take time to put gas in my car or charge up my Tesla to drive around to be limited on the houses that I may see that are ugly? Now, let me go ahead and tell you the play. If you strung out, if you're at home, you're trying to figure out what you want to do and you're in between jobs, maybe you're trying to figure out if you want to go to college, your girl left you, whatever it is, this is a better way to do it. Instead of you driving around looking for ugly houses, what I want you to do is ask your mailman to go ahead and help you get these ugly houses. And this is what you say. What you say is, hey, listen, would you like to go ahead and make some extra money doing something you already do? He's going to say, what do you mean? Well, listen, you drive around, you see multiple houses all the time. You deliver up to 1,000 pieces of mail every single day. I know for every house that's vacant, you have a green card that you put in the mailbox. So with that being said, if you just go ahead and text me these addresses, if I end up buying one of these houses, I'll pay you $500. Now you're generating leads for absolutely free from somebody that sees houses every single day and knows which ones are ugly. They're like the neighborhood mom or dad. Not only that, sanitation workers. Every single week, somebody coming up to pick up your trash. You're going to tell me that they don't see an ugly house? Uber drivers. You're going to tell me that right now, Uber driver that, let's just say you get in the car that is consistently taking their Uber driving business serious, cannot go ahead and say, listen, I'll make some extra money. Landscapers. These people have accounts after accounts after accounts.
Yep.
Door-to-door knockers. Mm-hmm. I use them all the time. They come by, hey, listen, solar, hey, listen, what if I was able to help you make some extra money? That way you don't have to be coming around. One deal could change your whole life. I know you're getting paid a commission or maybe even salary, sweating your butt off. So now what we do is that we have an army of people that drive around for us versus us having to limit our time to go ahead and do this. We have to think smarter. That driving for dollars shit is dead.
this is getting really good. Okay, so now when we talk about, I know you talk a lot about wholesaling, but another strategy I've heard you talk about using that you kind of commingle with wholesaling is something called subject to.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, what is subject to and how exactly do you use it to work with wholesaling? Explain that.
It's a great question. So I would tell you this, Marvin. I don't like to say never, but it would be highly unlikely that I will buy a property using traditional financing. Mm-hmm. Traditional financing is conventional loan, VA, well, I'm not a veteran, But shout out to all the veterans, a VA loan or a FHA loan. Now, the reason why is because you can use creative financing. And creative financing consists of subject to. So what is subject to? So essentially, when you're looking at property, specifically pre-foreclosures or people that are behind on payments, what ends up happening is that when you own a home, you have what's called ownership, right? You have what's called a deed, a title that gives you ownership. And then when you're using financing, right, when you go to buy a house using a loan, you have what's called debt, or what we call a promissory note, a mortgage. So sometimes you can be on the deed or the title, the owner, but you're not on the actual debt, right? Think about a cosigner, right? A cosigner is maybe just on the debt, but they're not the actual on the paperwork of the owner. So what ends up happening with subject two is that you can have somebody that's behind on payments, and you can go ahead and negotiate a deal to where, let's just say they're strapped for cash, the house is gonna go on pre-foreclosure, they're going through a bind, and they're gonna just let it go. What you can do is you can pay cash or keys or sometimes even no money up front to save that pre-foreclosure from happening. And what you do is you take over the payments. So you have them deed over the house to you with a quitclaim deed. So now you're the owner, Brand is the owner, and I'm making the payments on behalf of Marvin's mortgage that he owes. So when we call Bank of America, Marvin is the one in the account that owes $100K for this house, but I am the owner. All right. So a lot of times the bank don't know that, but they don't really care, because as long as the payments are being made, it's all good. So this is how you're able to go ahead and live in your dream house. Imagine a house that's in a $2 million neighborhood, a $1 million neighborhood, and they're going through a divorce, or they're going through some type of, whatever the case may be, financial burden. And they bought this house several years ago where the mortgage was a 3.2%. And they really don't have a lot of equity, and they're behind $40,000. And what you do is you just went ahead. You got Navy, you know, you got the Navy Fed. You got the Amex, right? You got the Amex Navy Fed. You got the rewards program, and you swipe to go ahead and just take care of the arrears. You liquidate it, what is it, Melio, you stripe, whatever it is. You pay it down. And now what you can do is you go in there and rent that property out for more. So if the mortgage is $2,000, you can rent it out in cash flow for $3,000, whatever market rent is. So this is how you can own property without having to actually qualify or use your debt to income or your taxes or whatever, and actually start to build your portfolio using creative financing.
In studying you, what's interesting is, you know, I said it, even said in your intro, you have a multi-market portfolio. You don't just invest where you are. You have properties all over. For the aspiring investor, especially one that's looking to get in through wholesaling, are you a for that or against that when you're just getting started? Do you think that out-of-state investing is something you should maybe prioritize a bit later on? Or is that something that they can hit the ground running on even from day one? Where do you stand when it comes to that?
I would say I'm against it. I would like for people to start in their backyard. Why? Because you can go. It's tangible. You can go look at the house. You can spend your time to really assess the market. If you've been there for a while, you know the demographic, you know the population. I would suggest that you start in your backyard. But as you start to build your business, you can start to go ahead and do market research, what we call MSA. So what we'll do is that right now we're currently using AI to do that. So what we'll do is we'll ask, you know, and I'll just give you for an example, right? You can just go ahead and ask ChatGPT. You can say, hey, listen, in Houston, Texas, can you go ahead and give me the hottest zip codes based on fix and flip activity in the last 180 days, in the last 6 months, and tell me why, and list them from one, you know, from one to five. And it's going to tell you why these zip codes are hot. And it's also going to go ahead and tell you where, you know, what type of list you can pull. So you can ask it, hey, what type of list can I pull? Should I pull an absentee owner list? Should I pull a tax delinquent list? And it's going to tell you. It can get more specific where you, if you're using something like bluestext.com, you can even say, hey, I'm using this type of resource. Can you tell me the filters to use to pull in Houston, Texas? And this is so important, bro, because I used to be in multiple markets. And the funny thing about it was we tried like Las Vegas. And at the time, texting was going crazy for us. And we were using, it was actually called an unknown list, which means that it was no filters, right? It was just unknown. I guess we really didn't know what it was. And no deals. We did market research, and guess what we found out, Marvin?
Talk to me.
We found out that the population and the demographic there was mostly seniors. We also found out, right, that if they're mostly seniors, are they going to be texting?
They're not texting.
Now, so what we did is that we changed our marketing strategy and we changed the list. Deals started to happen. So what I teach my students is called reverse wholesaling. The reason why most people do not get a deal is, number one, they're fishing in a pond that have no fish, right? So you have to understand your market. You have to understand what's going on there, what type of population, why are people either leaving or coming in, mm-hmm. median sales price, things of that nature. Once we found out our hottest zip codes where people are actually investing, then we go out and find cash buyers. Mm. So what I do is I'll do like a little bait and switch. I'll go ahead and take, let's just say Orlando, Florida. I'll ask AI, give me the median sales price on Orlando, Florida. It'll say 400,000. Cool. What I'll do is I have AI go ahead and generate me a picture of an ugly house that looks realistic so I can use it. We post a Facebook marketplace ad, right? I'll go ahead and have AI ask it. I'll say, listen, can you go ahead and make me a posting about me trying to sell my property as a homeowner that is distressed, make it a 1,200 square feet, and the asking price is going to be $200,000. Mm-hmm. Now, why did I do that? If you know houses are going for $400,000 in that area, and my house is messed up, and it sounds like in that marketplace posting that I'm looking to sell fast, do you not think I'm going to entice cash buyers?
100%.
So now what we do is once they call us, they contact us, we say, hey, listen, that property went under contract, but I get houses like this all the time. Mm. Do you mind if I add you to my VIP list? You think they're going to say no?
Absolutely not.
Now, this was all AI generated.
This is way cold. Go ahead.
Now, before we used to do this manually, mm-hmm. before we used to use List Source and the UPS zip codes to find out all of that, now we're doing this. So what we've done is that we've pre-built and made a bot that specifically does all this for my students. Mm. In minutes. So then what we do, mind you, the picture's AI generated, the listing is AI generated, right? So now they call us, and then guess what we do? Well, hey, listen, so what is your buy box, right? What are you looking to spend? What zip codes do you buy in? Now, if they say the same zip codes that our bot just told us, our hypothesis is correct. Mm. So now we got the hottest zip codes. The people that are buying, we know are saying they're buying there. We know what they want to buy. What house is it? Lots? Is it this? Is it that? Whatever. So now guess what? All I got to do is find the house. Mm-hmm. But people online, since they're learning, and I want to go ahead and tell you this, right? A lot of you guys, you have to stop wanting everything to be done for you because every shortcut has a hidden fee.
Come on.
So every time that you, it's kind of like going to IKEA. They're going to give you all the parts, but it don't come with batteries. It don't come with the screwdriver. Mm-hmm. And that's what YouTube may be sometimes. You have to understand that you do got to pay some dividends. You do got to put in some work. So a lot of the times, you know, we want things handed to us and AI is there to help you, but you got to put in a little bit of that work.
Yeah.
So that 10% is what it allows us to do. So the dope thing about this, bro, is that we're able to do this now, speed to lead. I can get in any single market and start doing this. So now that I understand what the hottest market is, I know what the cash buyers want, and then the AI is telling me what's the best list to pull based on demographic of population and what's going on in that area, all I do is pull that list, and now I start to contact them. Do you mind if I just show you really quickly? Like,
show how me. This,
okay.
I got to see this, because one of the themes I'm seeing in your story is that like you're very intentional and strategic about 100%. Putting systems and things in place that don't eliminate the work, but just make how you do the work smarter.
100%.
So now you're over here talking about using AI. Walk me through the incorporation of how you're using AI in your real estate business right now. Break that down for me.
Yeah. So let me go ahead and break that down for you, right? So just give me 1 second, because AI is calling me right now. I need you guys to pay attention, because if you're not using this in your real estate business or you haven't started, then it's going to be for you.
All right. Let's see this.
Hello?
Me. Hey, Brandon, giving you a call back. How is it going?
It's going good. How can I help you?
My name is Emily, and I'm actually AI powered, but don't worry. I'm not calling to sell you anything. I'm calling about your property located at 663 Clemson Drive.
Okay. Yeah, what about it?
The reason for the call is to see if you would consider selling the property.
I mean, I guess it just depends. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to give it away because I get these calls all the time.
I totally understand, Brandon. I'm just looking to gather some information to see if we can come to an agreement. If you don't mind, I have a couple of questions to get the best possible offer for you. We typically look at two different types of properties. A, properties that are fully renovated and are comparable to modern 2025 homes, or B, properties that may need some work and are investor friendly. Which one best describes yours?
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, my house isn't the best on the block, but it's not the ugliest. And I'm not going to take a lowball offer. But right now, I'm on my guy Marvin's podcast, so I need you to hurry this up. What are the other questions?
No problem, Brandon. I appreciate your patience. If given the opportunity where time and money weren't a factor, what would you change about the property?
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't change much. I mean, it does need work. I've painted the cabinets. I've done some stuff to the flooring. But, you know, we do have a roof leak right now. But like I said, I don't have a lot of time. Really quickly, I know you said you're AI. What's the square root of 804?
Well, I'm more of an AI sidekick that works for a local real estate company, but they still pay me pretty good. As for the square root of 804, it's approximately 28.4.
Now, if you're not using this in your real estate business or you haven't even thought about getting started in real estate, I'm going to tell you right now, America is on sale and it's gotten way easier with AI. Look at his face.
Yo, wait. That was an AI bot?
Yeah.
That wasn't a real...
Whoa, don't disrespect her. Her name is Emily.
Emily, all right, my bad. Bro, wait. We... Yo, my head hurt. Okay, hold on. You gotta, walk me through how that even came, what just happened? Break that down for me. Walk me through.
Before we get in that, right? What does this say today? Does it say today? There's a file there. What does it say?
Which text here?
What under the file, what does it say?
Signed contract.
Does that say today?
That is it.
Okay, scroll up. This should be a screenshot. What does the screenshot say? It's a picture.
$5,000.
$5,000, okay. So, that was yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we just got a deal under contract for $150,000, and I sold it. Scroll up a little bit more. Is a LLC there?
Yeah.
What does it say? What's the price under the LLC?
$235,000.
Okay, so I got the deal for $150,000, and I just wholesaled it for $235,000. If we're doing simple math, that's $85,000 using AI to help us pre-qualify.
This motherfucker killer sees.
You want to show? Spanish. Yeah, you can see it's real.
Purchase price. All right, I don't know if I'm allowed to. Hold on. Yeah, can I show this?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I don't know if you guys can see it on here. So that's $235,000. I'll probably have the editor zoom in.
Show the screenshot of the $5,000. I said, listen, we need the $5,000 down payment right
Hold
now.
Hold on. Let's see if it's gonna focus. Back up. Okay.
Look.
Father God.
And then scroll down. What does it say? It should say signed contract. And it should have the file.
Signed contract. I'm gonna have the editor have to zoom in on this. Look at this.
Come on, y'all.
Look at this. And this is, wait, talking about, this is through.
So this is what we did. Bro. We got a list. This list was actually... let me give him some more game.
Talk to me.
So this is from my inner circle mentorship student, but you know what? We on the Marvin Show, right?
Come on now.
So we're going to give this to you guys. There's a website out there called Citricado, C-I-T-R-I-C-A-D-O. What they do is that they take bad credit, people that you deal with, and they also take pre-foreclosures, list pendants. And they put that together because they can't refinance the house and they can't do loan modifications. Mm-hmm. So we reach out to these people. And this person ended up being on that list. So what we did is that we also use AI text. So the AI text works phenomenally because if you're at work or wherever it is you're at, you're with the dogs, you're with your kids at soccer, we use the AI text. And once they go ahead and say, yes, they want to offer, either we use AI text to keep going, mm-hmm. or at that point in time, once we get written consent, we go ahead and call them using, as a follow-up, we use the voice AI. Mm-hmm. Now, this can be done automatically, mm-hmm. right, while you are at work. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is how we're able to use AI to go ahead and help us be able to automate our business. Right. Now, I'm not telling you guys to do this. Make sure you tap in because, like I said, there's regulations in specific states and stuff. But this is how we're able to do it within our means and our business.
So I got so many questions. The biggest question of them all. How do I get that Emily? How do I get Emily? Emily.
So listen, Emily was built for just me and my students. So you just got to tap in.
So this is an AI bot that you and your team put together.
So honestly, we built this for me.
Got it.
And then it just ended up happening where Boone asked me like, hey, what you been doing? And then it just went crazy.
Bro, what the hell is going on in America? Okay. Yeah. So let's say on off chance, we don't have an Emily. What the? Yo, my head hurt, bro. Like, so... Now, seeing, because like you said, you're in a position now where you're using AI for text messaging. You have this phone feature that you're using. What does the future of artificial intelligence look like in the real estate space from where you sit?
So I know it may look like it's really rude because I'm on my phone right now. But you know what I'm doing right now? I'm asking my AI bot that I built for my student. We're in Brooklyn. So I'm asking, what's the hottest zip codes in Brooklyn based on fix and flip activity?
You a lie.
In 2025. Right, so this is what I'm gonna do. This is my money shot, right? You can see that's so. This is our AI bot, right? It's called the AI wholesaler. I'm gonna go ahead and click this right here. All right, and you can see it's about to go ahead and load up. So I'm about to tell you right now. If you wanted to get started wholesaling, let me see. There it is. Okay, So go ahead and read that. Go ahead, tell your viewers. If they in Brooklyn, if you where, let's see, go ahead and tell them. Tell them.
All right. So the top Brooklyn zip codes for fix and flips in 2025, you got 11-11238. That's Prospect Heights and Clinton Hill. Why it's hot. Redfin named it the hottest zip code in U.S. for 2025 due to a 105% increase year over year. Median price is 1.39 mil, up 3.9 year over year. Okay, got you. 11249 Williamsburg, 11216 Bed-Stuy, 11206 Bushwick, 11215 and 11217 Park Slope, 11225 Prospect Leffert Gardens. And I'm seeing tips for to be an investor on which properties to, what is going on here, bro? Here, take this. So you are literally, you've AI-ified, if that's what you will,
yeah,
your approach to the real estate space now.
Yeah.
For someone who's watching this, what are some of the, if at all, the actual steps they can take to start doing, even if they can't get an Emily, to start getting AI in their business? What does that look like?
I mean, I guess the basic thing that I would start off with is just use your regular old ChatGPT.
Okay.
You can use ChatGPT. I use it every single day, to be honest with you. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I'm not using AI, to be honest with you. I would start getting more involved with learning AI. As of right now, we're actually building AI agents that are going to help me actually do admin work and customer service work. So what I would do is that I would just try to get more involved. But in all reality, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, your parents dictate your history, but your mentors dictate your future. So why not just go ahead and tap in with me so that you can start to use these tools the correct way? Like I said, a lot of the times, you know, you got to choose your heart. But essentially, you know, you could use ChatGPT. The problem with ChatGPT is that it's programmed and it's very vast. It has a lot of information. So the way that we built our AI bot for coaching and mentoring our students is that it's literally driven not only towards wholesaling, but wholesaling lots, subject to, BRRRR, novations, Airbnb arbitration, lease options, things of that nature. So it's specifically made for that. Like right now, if I ask my personal bot to role play with me, it'll role play with me. Not even Emily, my other bot.
If you role play on this episode right now.
Hey, can you role play with me? I want you to be the seller that is distressed and lost her dad, and I'm going to call you out of the blue as a newbie wholesaler.
You alive from the bottom of the sky? Hold on.
Absolutely. Let's run it. I'll play the role of a woman named Linda. Her dad recently passed, and she inherited his house. But it's overwhelming, and she doesn't know what to do with it yet. Ready when you are. Go ahead and make the call.
All right, hello?
Hi, who's this?
Yes, my name is Marvin. I'm actually calling about your property at 123 Main Street. I just wanted to see if you ever consider a cash offer.
Oh, wow. I wasn't expecting that. Honestly, I haven't really thought about it. That was my dad's house. He passed a couple months ago, and I've just been trying to figure things out. Why are you calling?
Well, honestly, like I said, I purchased a property recently in the area, and I just, you know, I'm sorry for bothering you. Me and my fiance, we buy a couple of houses, you know, a year. We're not the biggest cash buyers in the area, but I actually grew up in this area. Just wanted to see if you just, you know, would like a cash offer on your property.
Okay. I mean, I appreciate you saying that. It's just...
So I could do this all day. At the end, I can ask it for a 1 to 10 score on how I did. It could tell me what strong points I had and what was my weak points. It'll log it so that next time I do it, I get better. Because, you know, Marvin, when we make money, right? You know what's the number one product you can't go broke from, right?
Talk to me.
Intellectual property.
Yeah.
The more money that you invest into here, the more money you'll make. I can never go broke. God willing. Why? Because of all of the stuff that I have in my brain. So before, guess what? I would have to call my mentor. It's Sunday night. I got a deal. Guess what? He's sleeping. I don't need... I have the AI wholesaler on my phone. I could literally role play while I'm taking a dump.
So I was not expecting that on this episode. as so much to unpack. I know we don't have as much time as we would like to break it down.
There's going to be a part two.
There has to be a part two. There has to be a part two because this is ridiculous. But
Marvin, you want to know what's crazy?
Talk to me.
That I seen your face when I was talking to Emily. Mm. But I seen the engineer's face when mm-hmm. I was talking to Emily. He was like,
bro, what? Because like I've never.
What sorcery is this?
What kind of wizardry? What kind of magical mysticalness is this, bro?
But let me ask you a quick question.
Talk to me.
Knowing what I've shown you today.
Yeah.
In the next 10 years, what do you think? Ball game.
If you in the next 10 years, everybody, you're gonna be in your underwear closing $50,000 to $70,000 wholesale deals with your AI bots and your AI agents. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
But in the future, if you don't jump on this AI stuff, you're gonna be able to use the Hard Rock app to bet on the money line.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna tell you what the odds are or what they think you should do.
Yeah.
It's already doing it with credit. Oh, I didn't even tell you what else we do. You don't have no renovation experience. We go to the house or we have the homeowner just send us pictures.
Mm-hmm.
We upload it into the AI wholesaler, my bot, and we can tell it, hey, listen, tell me what you think the estimated renovation would be as a newbie wholesaler. It'll analyze all the pictures and then it'll tell me, hey, we think it's going to be somewhere between $40,000 to $55,000. Okay, great. Listen, based on XYZ, can you go ahead and give me my mail, maximum allowable offer? Okay, great. Can you go ahead and actually make a script, text and email? Because I'm going to text them. Okay, perfect. They didn't pick up. Create me another script so I can call them. But remember, this is Linda. Her dad passed away. I don't want to be too pushy, so please coach me through it. You get my AI bot. You don't need to pay no guru $20,000.
Hey. Hey.
The guy at the Holiday Inn teaching real estate, listen, it's dead.
It's dead, bro.
That's dead.
It's done. Brandon, you came on here. If I said you gave $1 million worth of game, I'd be giving an understatement. You blazed the house, brother.
Appreciate you.
As bro. We start to close this thing out, let the people know where they can find you. Because they're not finna come in my DMs talking about, yo, what's his Instagram? What's this? How can people get tapped in and wrapped in with what you got going on?
Yeah, I mean, Blue Notes Brandon, BLUENOTES, Brandon. You could catch me on Instagram. My YouTube is the same. You can get a lot of game. I know before we started this episode, Marvin said, I went all the way to your first post.
Mm.
And I always tell people that, you know, if you're ever going to get coaching or advice from somebody online, go see how their journey started.
Yeah.
Right? Because mine was documented. So go ahead, check me out. If you like, you know, my value, if you think that you can learn something from me, send me a DM. Let's see how we can work.
I love it.
You know, but very straight, simple, man.
I love it. My guy, I appreciate you always. But more importantly, I appreciate each and every single one of y'all. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now. Go ahead, hit that like button. Tell a friend to tell a friend to come back, rewatch this episode again. As always, my name is Marvin Francois. That's Brandon Narain. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. And as always, family, thank you. Get AI and God bless. Peace out.
Word.